Yes, it is. That's Marion Foster Welsh. I know who this is, but I would rather put this with this pile over here. 12088 is Henry Kleber of Pittsburgh, Stephen's friend and teacher. It's possible that Kleber had a hand in the arrangement of some of Foster's songs. Is it going to are you interested in the order you've got here? I can simply take out and put in this pile anything that I'd like to check with. I am 99% correct in what I could tell you about these, but I'd rather not take any chance of giving you the wrong information. 19449 is Robert P. Nevin, a friend of the Foster family. He's the author of Stephen C. Foster and Negro Minstrelsy. You've got an article by him from the Atlantic Monthly in the collection.
I haven't been here.
Yes, it was. We've been pretty busy too.
I know you have.
But nice to see you.
Now that author is Stephen Foster and
Negro Minstrelsy. That appeared in the Atlantic Monthly. And I think the date is 1867. And you have that article on display over in the other building. Robert Peebles Nevin is also known as the, or as the, I'll change that wording a little. Robert Peebles Nevin is the father of Ethelbert Nevin.
Oh, is it?
Yes. I think I'll put this over here. I know who these people are, but I'd rather send you exact information along.
We have the numbers. Mm-hmm. We have them.
Yes. Tell you what I can do. Let me have these numbers, and I'll send you. That is Matt. That 25992 is Matthew Wiley Welsh, the only grandchild of Stephen Foster still living. He lives in Pittsburgh. Yes, well, that is correct. Am I going too fast for you, Eleanor?
No, I'm trying to write these out.
19479 is Professor John Kelly. An instructor at Stockton's Academy, Allegheny. And he is a teacher of Stephen Foster. He was a teacher of Stephen Foster. I think the advantage of my taking the numbers on any of these is that I can send you not only who they are, but give you a little more complete account. And when you don't work with some of these people every day, it's awfully easy for your mind to slip on something. I thought at one time that I would never forget anything that I had ever known about Stephen Foster, but when I was given the job of manager of the memorial, I got a little away from...
That's too many other things. Well, I don't remember as much as I did, since I don't talk to people about him anymore.
12082 is William Barclay Foster Jr., the eldest brother of Stephen Z. Foster. He was the civil engineer who became the first vice president of the Pennsylvania Railroad. He built the Pennsylvania over the Allegheny Mountains between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh. I don't know whether you, this is 17570. It's more or less self-explanatory. This man, Frederick M. Steele, was quite a collector in his day. And this man, Oliver R. Barrett, is even more of a collector. He had a very famous Lincoln collection in Pittsburgh, in Chicago. But he was also interested in Stephen Foster. And he acquired this manuscript, For Thee, Love for Thee, from Mr. Steele. And the story is told here. I saw this manuscript some years ago at an auction of the Barrett collection in New York City and tried to acquire it for the Foster Hall collection, but by this time the value of Foster manuscripts had gone up so high that I felt I couldn't make any further offer. And this, the offer that was made on this was well over $1,000. I mean, at a time when Mr. J.K. Lilly had been collecting manuscripts, he was paying, $150 or $200 or $250 for manuscripts. And this, if I remember rightly, went for something like $1,250. And we didn't have that kind of money in the collection.
Well, those things really are. Mm-hmm. We have some of those in our files.
Yes.
And that, those really are self-explanatory.
Yes, that's self-explanatory.
And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of these pictures, I can look up the names in the biography too, John Tasker Howard and Mr. Norman, and find out information about these.
Well, I tell you what, I will take those numbers. Mm-hmm. Let me take those numbers to take back to Pittsburgh. If I have a piece of paper there, there's no need for me to take these back with me, because if I have the name and the number, I can simply check further in our files. I could probably tell you more quickly than the chronic would see.
Yes.
Are we still on the air here?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. You never realize how your own voice sounds until you hear it played back.
That sounds terrible. I never
Do you ever reach the stage where you have to decide whether things you've been working on or holding are of any real importance? We have. I have dozens of boxes in the stock room at the Foster Memorial. They're filled with work to be given attention in the future. And what it means is that the time never comes to work on those future things. Do you ever find that there are people who want to give you things provided you display them in the most prominent place in the building or something of that kind, or give them to you under condition of that kind? Before you know it, you're displaying Indian bones and things found on the battlefield of Gettysburg and Indian relics and so forth, and they're just, you become so crowded, you don't have enough wall space or display.
Well, that's where we wanted the Pookie Museum, you see, mm-hmm. you put that sort of stuff in the Pookie Museum.
That would be an interesting addition then, but it wouldn't have any connection with people.
What I can do on a lot of these, Velma, is I'll check and make sure these, and I can refer you to pages, say, in Howard or the Chronicles that would tell you who these are, or I imagine in many cases a few lines would be enough to identify
yes,
these people.
I could probably find them in there if I had the names of who they are.
These pencil drawings are the work of a man named Joseph Muller, M-U-L-L-E-R, and I'll give you that in this also. If we could drive south tomorrow, I'd have your company. I could see Evelyn Mornovec, and you could go on and see your family. Be very happy to do
yes,
that.
If
you could get as far as at least get to. I've seen the Copeland illustrations, but no. I've never seen anything. I don't.
Isn't that pretty?
It's
though?
Very pretty indeed. That's the thing.
You paid $5 for that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen this one either. Of course,
we've got one copy of it.
There must.
We don't have one that has that cover.
There must. Every once in a while, you run into these. Must have been printed by the hundreds and thousands. I've never seen that cover before.
They're all pretty, though. Did Mr. Archibald look at both of those bars? Mm. Or someone, some man that was here.
Madison County, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm almost certain who this is, but I 14338 probably. That is probably. Here again, I don't like to tell you something that I'm not sure about. I think that is the second husband of Jane McDowell Foster. I think it's, but I've got that listed here.
Here's a pad if you need.
All right, thank you, Foster. All right, that's you've got all the rest of these. Here's something I thought I would speak to you about. You might, it's just possible. It occurred to me after a phone, are we still on the air? I'd rather tell you this just between us boys and girls. In the warm weather, when the weather becomes cool, moves inside to the library. My never, well, he is, he too is unemployable. There's just no question about it. It's a pity. Oh yes, I can. That's my old Kentucky home, and you know what that is. And that is John Rowan Sr., who founded, and that is his son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Want me to call those off again? 13065. Got that? 13065. Is John Rowan Sr., the founder of Federal Hill, Bardstown, Kentucky. Shall I put these down on top here in this way? 13066 is John Rowan Jr., who inherited Federal Hill. And if Stephen Foster ever went to Federal Hill, it was while Federal Hill was under the jurisdiction of this man. You notice I haven't said he did go there. It's just that great controversy as to whether or not he did. And if he did, Federal Hill would have been under the ownership of John Rowan Jr. at that time. Do you want me to continue on here? We may come to another... Oh, you let me set this to one side. We may come to another page of this. That is a woodcut. I'll tell you what I think this is. I think that's a photograph taken out of... Do you have my old Kentucky home, or do you have one of those Copeland books here? I am positive that this simply is a photograph of the woodcut. Well, tell you, do you want to set that to one side? I think that you'll find that that is a... It looks like a photograph, doesn't it?
Yes, it looks like it might be one of those.
My guess is that that is a photograph of a Copeland... Sorry, let's set that to one side so I don't give you the wrong information on that.
It does look like it might be one of those. Mm-hmm.
It has the appearance of a woodcut. That's a page from the... Velma, I think you'll find this belongs down here with the... Well, now, we didn't buy
those, but there is in John Pastor Hire's yard, those pages.
There is page 30. This is simply the other side of this page. You want me to put this with this one here? Those are from the...
I don't think I've interpreted them. Now, I just brought these because of the things that come at a little reflection. No. This is the words to the wife.
That page you're looking at there is part of the that's part of the binding of Stephen Foster's manuscript book.
Let's put that down there.
11689-11 is the inside cover of Stephen Foster's manuscript book. It simply represents some doodling, but he evidently is trying to place some kind of a valuation on some of the books he has in his library. For example, there's Bleak House by Charles Dickens and some other things here. Captain Marriott. The poor man is in a state of needing money, and he evidently is planning to sell his library, or at least valuate it. As we come through here, I may be able to, if there's anything here that requires any notice, I'll... Ah, My Child is the simply two pages from Foster's manuscript book. Most of...
These all are pages from his manuscript. Willie, My Grave.
lines of being invited to sing at a banquet. Yes, that's also manuscript. You may come to another page of Cora Dean in there, and that would match up with this one.
Maybe the next page. This is Laura Lee. We hadn't heard a bit of Laura Lee. Two pages of Laura Lee. No, here's 3 pages of Laura Lee. That's
well, those,
all
these. These large pages are simply from the pages of his workbook or manuscript book.
Well, that's about all. Here's something that this had on it. Return to Flesh and Heart.
Probably something
that we've had for 10 years, I suppose. That was part of the genie. It was part of the genie manuscript.
I don't know why you had to return those to me.
We had it marked on here.
Unless it would be that you wanted to identify them. Now those are original. Those are pages from
the. We had those over in one of the showcases over there. I think the same thing. Probably we had 2 copies and we're supposed to return them to you. Do you suppose?
I don't know why you'd have to. It might be that you'd want another one at one of our
ones.
Well, there's a third page that should go with this. You don't have the.
No, that's what we have. We have all of it over there.
We have the completed manuscript. Okay. Would you like me to send you another? Do you have a ruler? What we've got here is something slightly larger than the. That's a very rare thing indeed. Anybody who can acquire one of those has done it.
They look like they're just made right here in the building.
Well, that's the. Ours are getting a little bit tarnished for this time. They, after all, they're 20. They're, gosh, they're over 20. They're about 25 years old by this time.
36.
Yes.
He has these in one of those plastic.
I know the kind.
You see display things, and that'll show it, make them stay right high.
We can always supply anything that's missing.
Well, now, I don't know if there are the numbers in front of us or not.
Be nice to have these match in the. Because this is slightly larger than standard.
I was wondering if there was some missing out there. know I said there's
several
papers in here,
and
that.
The best way to find out is simply to check a... do you have a copy of this?
We have a copy of the words, you mean?
Yes. Do you have a copy, of the original book? Tell you in that, could you do this? Could you send me these up to? Could you send me these up to Pittsburgh and let me check those? I think that's the best. And I'll let you know if there is any. If there's anything missing, I'll send it to you there. I think the best thing is to check those against the originals. The one we'd have trouble getting for is number 8. If it's possible to. I think that's the best thing, Velma. If you can just ship me those little Copeland drawings, I can tell you what's missing and order anything missing to come from Indianapolis. Can you tell me this? When you got the last check from the University of Pittsburgh, when the university paid for our last purchase of those Foster biographies, did you get one check or two? Did they pay it at one? Just curious to know, because our treasured office were getting themselves so fouled up last summer that I wanted to split that between our two fiscal years. You remember when we bought 300 of the Foster books? Two checks. Well, I was curious to know whether
we billed them separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you did that, but the way our treasurer's office was working sometime, I tried to separate them by as many days as I possibly could.
Yes.
Because we were involved in complications between one fiscal year and another.
They didn't say we gotta take care of you.
They changed the date of the fiscal year at the university. Usually it ended on June the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
This last year it ended on July the 31st. Next year it's going to end on August the 31st. And then apparently we'll have a fixed fiscal year from September 1, clear around 12 months to August the 31st.
Well,
But that was why I worked things that way. I was trying to stagger things between the two fiscal years.
Didn't make it better. One thing I would refer to you.
Yes. I would think your accounts could be a full-time job in themselves here, Verona, running an establishment like this.
Well, this is purchase orders, you see. We have to write purchase orders for everything, so you have account of it. And of course, Dorothy has charge of the concessions part, the things they buy from the issue.
That's the association.
Like that. She's been doing that. And we'll have to continue keeping it separate in our own accounts, but all the money will be deposited in one trust fund in Tallahassee. But we'll have to keep separate set of book fund so that we'll know what we take in, so we'll know how much we pay on the money we're buying from the trustees and the internal improvement.
That really has become a complicated state of business.
This is just a draft of this assignment from the association to the commission. Now this is a particular paragraph referring to the in other words, the commission is agreeing that they will assume the obligation of the association.
Yes. That, I'm interested in knowing about this, and that means that from here on it would be the commission that was selling it. Rather, if there were ever another edition of the book, would it be printed Stephen Foster Memorial Commission rather than Stephen Foster Memorial
by the commission, but the arrangement would be the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find out what those bulletins were we got.
Were these for me?
I can let you have a copy of them.
Well, if it's all Foster, that may be. Short as it costs.
Well, that's just what I was checking. Mm-hmm. You might want that along with it. I mean, that's going to probably be signed for the 15th. That's the reason I was saying a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to call the Attorney General's office this morning trying to get this. I've got one paragraph in this that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And this paragraph 4 is probably going to be changed in this agreement if I have anything to say about it. They will, unless it causes complications somewhere or other. You see, no, that's the assignment and sale. That's in the agreement. So that this agreement with the trustees, the internal improvement fund. This item here. But that's not what I wanted.
The commission reserves the right to accelerate the payment of the